Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Right now, even today, this very day, from Australia, they have a global call going out to the whole world, to the nations of the world, to pray for us, to pray for America. And they're talking about the things that America's done that's helped them out in their countries, and remembering the good things that have happened, and understand that America has lost her way. And for the next few days, starting today, that they're calling the whole world to pray for America. Take a look at this, and I thank God for this.
G'day, I'm Warwick Marsh, part of a team of the National Day of Prayer and Fasting here in Australia. Our team, together with other national leaders, is calling the whole world to pray and fast for America from the 30th of April right through to the 6th of May 2015. We here in Australia are very grateful for America. Without America's help in the Second World War, we would have been overrun. It was the Battle of the Coral Sea in 1942 that changed the course of the war. So we are calling the nations of the world to pray and fast according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, to pray and fast for blessing for America, for revival for America, and for reformation for America. Without the intervention of America's armed forces, Hitler and the Axis of Evil that he led would have beaten the Allies in the Second World War. Without America's active resistance, communism would have triumphed in the 20th century. Those two godless ideologies were responsible for over 150 million deaths in the 20th century. How many more lives were spared because of America's stand against evil? Thank God for America. Each year, it is estimated that America gives over $70 billion per year in foreign aid from both governmental, private, and faith-based institutions to the world. People in almost all of the 260 nation states in the world benefit each year in some way from America's generosity and kindness. Thank God for America. But America is in deep trouble. She has departed from her strong Judeo-Christian faith foundations. The Pilgrims came to America in 1620, as stated in the Mayflower Compact, not to seek their fortune, but for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. George Washington, the first president of the United States, finished his inauguration ceremony on the 30th of April, 1789. By giving glory to God and by placing his hand on a Bible and saying, "So help me God." Presidents still do the same to this day. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States of America, said, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day." Abraham Lincoln proved he believed in these words when on the 30th of April, 1863, he called for a day of humiliation, prayer, and fasting by governmental decree at the height of the Civil War. God answered Abraham Lincoln's prayer and fasting in times of national crisis then, and he can do the same today. Unfortunately, America is again in crisis because it has forgotten the rock from which it has been hewn, and it is falling into moral and spiritual bankruptcy. Moral and spiritual bankruptcy leads to financial and governmental bankruptcy. America is in great danger from within and from without. Lana Vassa from Australia said there is a fight for the destiny of the USA right now. The destiny of America hangs in the balance. The Lord is calling his people to arise and pray for the United States of America. It is time to contend. Unfortunately, the situation in Australia is not much different. And we in our nation are suffering from the same moral and spiritual bankruptcy for exactly the same reasons. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." The Hebrew word for humble is kana, K-A-N-A, and it also is used in the scriptures to refer to times of fasting. Our respective nations need a good dose of prayer, fasting, and repentance from the fire hydrant of life. Only a concerted and united campaign of prayer, fasting, and repentance can restore the church and then the nation to spiritual health. We need revival and reformation. We need what we cannot do. We need God. So we invite you to join with us and pray and fast for America from the 30th of April right through to the 6th of May 2015, which is the eve of America's National Day of Prayer. Let's pray together. Let's believe God for revival, reformation, and renewal for America. Together, we can make a difference. God bless you.
This is so exciting. This is so exciting and so encouraging to hear the nations of the world begin to cry out to God on behalf of America. This is the crisis that we're in. But when the world begins to pray and begins to remember the wonders of the Lord, and today is the day to begin this time of prayer, and pick a day during this time to fast. Maybe you want to fast the whole time.
We are so honored that you're joining us here. Think about it. They're praying for us. They're asking for global prayer for America around the world. I mean, you think about that. It's so exciting.
Encouraging. Very encouraging.
It is very encouraging. And, you know, China's been praying for us for some time.
Yes,
about
they have.
That we would be humbled. So that because if America's light goes out, they're talking about how dark it would be in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, some of the things that we're seeing, I mean, and I say it in a way of it's totally dependent on whether we'll obey God or not, but there's good things in store for America if we'll listen to God, you know, if we'll listen to Him. I mean, Jeremiah wasn't a prophet that was sent to lock Israel up in some bad place. It was to warn Israel to not be locked up in a bad place. Is they just chose not to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just believing, especially some of the things that I've seen. I mean, great, great revival.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, do you want to share this real quick about just what the Lord was showing you?
Yeah, Lord just gave me a vision the other night that I was walking into a building. When I walked into the building, there was a stand. There was people wall to wall, and I knew that this was the move of God that was coming, that we're praying for, believing for, and God has showed us in so many ways. And it was just glorious to see. There were people everywhere, Greg. I mean, wall to wall, there were people sitting in chairs that weren't meant to be chairs. They were just piling in, if you will. All for God, with great anticipation, great expectation.
The nations were there.
Yeah, saw some delegation of Hispanics. They were singing. Just glorious, just spontaneous, just worship, and it was just filling the atmosphere.
So it was just filled with expectancy of what God was
going to
do.
It was really great. Baptisms were going on.
Awesome.
And very, very exciting. It's coming.
Yes. We've seen that. The Lord has shown me stadiums just filled with people crying out to God, just people hungry for God because God had already prepared their hearts. It's not some fancy message being preached.
Right.
It's the fact that God has prepared the heart for the harvest, and we need to prepare ourselves. You know, that's, you know, the person... You think about this. I forget what the name of that particular movie was. A real good movie done by Will House or something it's called, where they had this man that was praying for the school that revival would come, and he had a coach facing the Giants.
Yeah.
And the man told him, because the coach was talking about quitting, he said, you tell me, there's a man that was saying he wanted rain, but he was waiting for rain before he prepared his field. But another man was believing for rain, but he was getting his field ready, begin to plant seed and all that kind of stuff. He says, which one do you think is going to get the rain? He's like, the one that prepares his field. I mean, God rewards faith.
Yeah.
And if we begin to prepare ourselves, and one way to prepare ourselves is to recommit our lives to Jesus. Don't just assume we've committed our lives.
Yeah.
Don't try to pick up where we left off. Just say, you know what? I'm going to return to my first love.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole time of prayer is about. God, help us to get back to this place. You know, I was just reading this morning Dietrich Bonhoeffer's autobiography written by
Metaxas, I believe.
Yes. And they walked right into something so similar to what we're facing right now. And what came out of all that chaos was a leader who they thought was going to bring in democracy, who they disassociated all these bad things from him. And eventually they realized this is not a man of reason. This is the leader of this chaos.
Wow.
Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer is the one responsible for the German Church Reformation. And we have to really, and if they would have just turned to God instead of turned to government, because they were turning to government, they were thinking, we got to get this government thing. You know, we got to get a different form of government. And they ended up with Hitler.
Wow.
And all the discourse was going on. All this discourse in Germany.
Which today's the anniversary of his death, by the way, where he committed suicide. All cowards, you know.
Hitler.
Yes. Yeah.
And all this chaos was going on. And so they thought it was a good thing for him to come in and end the chaos. But the chaos is called democracy, where people are talking back and forth about where we think we should go.
Yeah.
And that's good. Everybody's participating in it. But all of a sudden he came in and they had the Night of Long Knives, where they killed all their opposition. In one night, that's why it's called the Night of Long Knives. Like 100 or so opposition. Can you imagine something like that? But that's what they thought. They thought they had voted in someone, you know, a chancellor that was going to do all these different things. And what it was a plan. And people began, instead of humbling themselves and turning to God, and one of the big issues, too, was government got involved in the church. And the church got merged. They merged together.
That should never happen.
Yeah, that's why our founding fathers said, no. You know, that's what the First Amendment's there. That's why... When we hear things like, as a matter of fact, I want you to hear this right here. This is just from this last weekend. You know, Hillary Clinton was saying before the nation, I guess at this particular women's meeting that was going on, she was talking right against the First Amendment. And that's how Germany ended up where they ended up. Listen, watch this. You got to see this.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
So you think about that. Let's just one more time, because we're looking at, you know, are we going to humble ourselves and pray like the call from Australia is happening, like the Harvard Business Law professor is saying, this is what if we're going to have democracy. If we don't, this is the way that we're going to go. This particular person's asking to lead our country and asking us to lead our country, and this is what she's saying. Listen to this.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
That is so important, and I want you to hear 526 again, because this is from Harvard Business Law. Understand what Hillary Clinton just said, and understanding that this is to be a president, you're actually swearing to uphold the law, the Constitution of the United States, the First Amendment, which is the separation of religion and government. Government shall make no laws concerning religion. And so when you become the president, you're swearing to obey or protect the law. So you're going to obey the Constitution.
Defend it.
Well, take a look at what they said one more time in this business law school, understanding what we're seeing before us right now.
Some time ago, I had a conversation with a Marxist economist from China. He was coming to the end of a Fulbright fellowship here in Boston, and I asked him if he had learned anything that was surprising or unexpected. And without any hesitation, he said, yeah, I had no idea how critical religion is to the functioning of democracy. The reason why democracy works, he said, is not because the government was designed to oversee what everybody does, but rather democracy works because most people, most of the time, voluntarily choose to obey the law. And in your past, most Americans attended a church or a synagogue every week, and they were taught there by people who they respected. My friend went on to say that Americans followed these rules because they had come to believe that they weren't just accountable to society, they were accountable to God. My Chinese friend heightened a vague but nagging concern I've harbored inside that as religion loses its influence over the lives of Americans, what will happen to our democracy? Where are the institutions that are going to teach the next generation of Americans that they too need to voluntarily choose to obey the laws. Because if you take away religion, you can't hire enough police.
That's from the Harvard Business Law School.
Wow.
And he says you cannot hire enough police. I don't know if you're seeing right here. I mean, this is right just a couple days, hours ago in Baltimore. And it's we choose to say, I will obey the law. Mm-hmm. And then when you have someone and you know, America is a nation of laws. That's what we do. It's laws. We talk about, we debate. We decide, you know, do we want this law or do we want that law? We will obey that law, but we don't want this law because that's not something we would want. So that's the way we're supposed to operate. But if the head office, you know, the executive office of our country, you know, says openly, I'm not going to obey the Constitution. I want to, you know, you're supposed to swear to protect that and defend that. And you heard, you said, you know, democracy is when a people choose to obey the law, and it was a fear not of man but of God that caused that. So if you change the deep seated beliefs of a nation, democracy is out the window. As a matter of fact, listen one more time, based on the Harvard law professor and the graduate that was leaving there, going back to Asia, understanding, I understand how democracy works, that religion is so important, your relationship with God and your awareness of God. Take a look at this.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
So, okay, there it is. That's a great debate. Do we want America anymore? Do we want America for what it was and what it is? But God, that's the original intent of America. This person's wanting to lead the country, and you have to defend the country. You got to defend the Constitution of the United States from enemies, foreign and domestic. And that a domestic enemy is somebody who lives in America, who wars against the Constitution, the laws of the Constitution. And to change deep-seated beliefs of Americans is to do away with the First Amendment, because the First Amendment specifically says, you know, if you could read that for us, John, right there. But the First Amendment specifically says the opposite of that, the government. If you're running for the head government office, think about that, the head government office, that the last thing you're going to do is, like, I want to do away with the thing I'm supposed to defend.
Right.
Watch. Listen.
First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging, which I found out means to reduce or lessen, the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
And so here we are. We're at this particular point. We're going to break at this moment, and I want you to join us on the patio. But understand this, that we're going to talk about this because Abraham Lincoln, you know, declared a national day of prayer. And think about it. He was the first Republican president, actually, in America. And he ended the Emancipation Proclamation, you know, ended slavery, and just was an amazing president. And these, we need to listen, because God honored this man's presidency to stop some great oppression that was taking place in our nation.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.